Hello, my name is Tucker Johnson, and I am your host today as we experience NIMSY Live, where we talk about the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers. On this program, we invite guests who like to have fun and have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I'm always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set. So let us know if there's any topics you'd like covered or guests we should reach out to for future episodes. If you haven't already done so, make sure that you are subscribing to NIMSY Insights. You can follow us on LinkedIn, X, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We have a YouTube channel where we archive all of the past episodes here of NIMSY Insights, as well as some very useful workshops that we publish for free out there. So follow us on your platform of choice. Of course, this is a live stream today. And when we do these live streams, the majority of people join us over on LinkedIn. So welcome to the 44 people joining us live on LinkedIn right now. Thank you for being here. If you want to ask questions during the presentation, during the episode today, go ahead and put your comments into the comment section. And we'll bring those up on screen and answer them as they come up. So without further ado, let's get into it. Today, we are talking about a real application of how a major localization company is partnering with AI to enhance their multimedia localization services. As we discuss Deluxe's strategic partnership with AI technology leader Apptech. Deluxe, a major provider of media localization services, has acquired an interest in Apptech and will become the exclusive reseller of Apptech's products to the global media and entertainment industry. We're going to be exploring today how the combined expertise of these two companies will allow them to develop cutting-edge AI solutions to empower translators, voice artists, and other creative professionals. The goal is to leverage AI sensibly to make more diverse content accessible to audiences worldwide while still keeping human creativity at the center. Deluxe can now offer custom high-performance AI tools and integrate directly into customer workflows. This partnership combines Apptech's award-winning R&D with Deluxe's decades of media localization experience. Today we discuss what this partnership means for Deluxe, for Apptech, and for the future of global media distribution and access. Joining us today, we have two guests. First off, Belen Aguayo-Garcia, who I used to work with. I had the pleasure of working with her before. She's a NIMSY alumna. My Latin's not great. Belen has over a decade of experience in the localization industry, starting in game localization with various roles. She later focused on training, teaching, game localization, and subtitling technologies in a master's program across Europe. While completing her PhD in subtitling for virtual reality content, she took on roles as a lead media researcher and VP of learning at NIMSY Insights. She works as a community builder at Deluxe Media, supporting a global team of over 5,000 freelance subtitlers to enhance their professional growth and ensure top quality experiences. And next up, we have Evgeny Matusov. Evgeny is a seasoned professional with a passion for advancing the field of machine translation. As the lead science architect at Apptech, he leads a team of experts in developing cutting edge solutions that bridge language barriers. And I love that we have both of you guys today, one from Deluxe and one from Apptech, so that we can get both sides of the story here. Belen, Evgeny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tucker. It's so great to be here with you. You know, I missed you.
It's like old times, right?
Yeah. Discussing interesting stuff about workflows, language technology, and how it actually makes a difference for clients. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. And
let's dive into it.
I'm excited, too. And Evgeny, nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you. And I'm great to be here.
Yeah. Well, I want to get right to the chase here. Deluxe announces strategic AI partnership with Apptech. For those of you listening out there, go check it out. There's plenty of press releases out there. Of course, I'm partial to the press releases published at Multilingual Media, so multilingual.com. Gives you all of the nitty-gritty details here, but since this is a podcast and not a webinar, I'll take this off the screen and just ask you, tell us a little bit about what's going on between Deluxe and Apptech.
Sure, I can start with my side of the story and then again you can add to that. So I mean, basically, Deluxe has been using technology for a long time. This is not like a revolution or something absolutely new that is going to change everything. Absolutely not. We've been using technology for a while, and we actually been using technology from AppTech for machine translation and transcription for a long time. So we knew what they could offer was cutting edge, state of the art, best technology for specifically subtitling and media and entertainment localization workflows. And with this strategic partnership, well, basically we wanted to strengthen our relationship with AppTech so that we could offer even better services for our clients and really, you know, making use of AI technology. When we talk about AI technology, we're really referring to Pornolike language technology, right? But now it's saying AI now, but we're talking about language technology, neural machine translation, which I read an article from Renato the other day saying yeah. that neural machine translation was the first AI technology.
That's AI. The thing. We've been saying that here at MZ Insights because it's, you know, last year, early 2023, everyone starts talking about AI because ChatGPT comes on the scene and then everything else comes on the scene. And the reality is, AI has been around for a while, and what happened in 2023 is it just became more accessible to, you know, the common layperson. I could go in and create a ChatGPT account or whatever, but we've been using AI in the language services industry for a while. I'm interested to hear Evgeny's thoughts on that.
Yes, exactly. And AppTech has been offering the AI or machine learning technology for media and entertainment also for several years already. So we came into this market because traditionally we started with machine translation, then speech recognition came. And this was still like in the early days of rule-based even or statistical approaches to these problems. And it's a natural thing if you combine the two to go into the media where you have speech signal and you want to transcribe it, you want to translate it properly. And with the introduction of the neural MT and also improvements in speech recognition with neural models, this was really the deal breaker where you say, okay, the quality really has gotten up so much that we can use both technologies quite effectively. And we can also go beyond just simple translation. And this is what we try to do at AppTech, to basically try to have models which use some extra knowledge that you can inject into them. Like I like to say, a small representation of the world knowledge that translator has it is now possible to be added to the system, like information about just simply what genre it is. Is it a documentary? Is it a comedy that you want to translate? Like information about what style you would like to generate and so on. So all of this is now possible to be provided as additional inputs in case of our API, in case of our offering, really is basically just as additional parameters which you can specify. And this is what we try to leverage for better customized translation, also in partnership with Deluxe.
I think one of the cool things about this strategic partnership is that, you know, out there you have technology companies who are doing like great things on the AI side, but they don't really, really necessarily understand the workflows and the client needs in media and entertainment specifically so deeply as Deluxe. And then we have LSPs out there who, you know, are great at the workflows, great at the processes, the human in the loop, the creative and so on and so forth, but don't necessarily have a good understanding of what is the technology about, what are the limitations of the technology, what are the things that you can do in the future to improve the technology and so on and so forth. And I think with this partnership, that's what we're bringing together to our clients, is that we have top-notch researchers, all PhDs from AppTech. I'm the only one at Deluxe, but we're doing what we can.
Dr. Belen. I forgot to introduce you as Dr. Belen.
Yeah, yeah. Just kidding. But I mean, we have all these amazing scientists from Aptech now listening to us directly, listening to people who have really very practical applications, limitations as well, voicing the needs of our clients. And then Aptech team can really take that and take the feedback from translators, the feedback from the creatives and so on and so forth, and really try to solve those challenges from a science perspective, which is something that I think it's missing in the industry right now. And like, we cannot use Google Translate for subtitling because it won't work well. We cannot use generic technology for media and entertainment because it's not designed with media and entertainment in mind. And with this partnership, I am really excited because I feel we can really do something cool by combining those two backgrounds and expertise.
Yeah. And one thing I've said for years, and usually piss some people off, but in our industry, in general, painting with a broad brush here, language companies suck at technology, and technology companies suck at language, right? And that's, you know, no disrespect. I mean, it's kind of a disrespectful statement, but that's why it's great to see partnerships, because Deluxe can focus on language and Aptech can focus on the technology, and you're merging those together. So you got the best of both worlds, right? But I realize in my introduction, I kind of gave a quick introduction about the companies, but I want to talk about Deluxe. Deluxe is not just another LSP, and you're the first person from Deluxe that I've ever had on this podcast. Really, I haven't talked to a lot of people from Deluxe, if any, in throughout my career, because you guys are kind of off doing your own thing, and it's a really cool thing that you're doing. So, Belen, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Deluxe does, and then, Evgeny, I'm going to ask a little bit about what Aptech does.
Yes, of course. Thank you for asking, Tuckers. I mean, Deluxe was actually originally founded by William Fox himself, like more than 100 years ago. So it's a company with a lot of tradition in the cinema and entertainment industry. Right now, we have a global team of over 4,000 people full-time working in different locations. The main headquarters are in Burbank in Los Angeles, of course, because that's where cinema and all the media entertainment high-quality content is born. Not so much today, because now we have more content being created in other territories, but that's where it was originated. So our headquarters are in Burbank. Then we have many companies in EMEA, in Europe, in Spain, in France, in Germany, in the UK. And we are also right now working on a very successful and big expansion into APAC. So we have now offices as well in Korea, Japan, Southeast Asia. And we also have our great team from India, from Bangalore, who has been supporting Deluxe for more than 20 years now. So that's basically who we are. And the services that we offer, you know, as every other LSP out there, you have to really tailor your service offering to your customers, to your customer base. And it's not just about translation, right? It's every single LSP out there really needs to offer something else, because clients are looking for end-to-end solutions. They are looking for a partner that can serve them and, you know, remove complexity from already extremely complex and demanding workflows and pipelines. So Deluxe, of course, we have the localization side of the business, which is one of the biggest ones that includes services like subtitling, dubbing, but also accessibility services like closed captions and audio description, which are kind of part of the localization ecosystem, even if they are accessibility on their own. And then we also have the distribution side of the business, the master fulfillment, which is basically adding yet another layer of quality assurance to make sure that not only the translation is correct, but, you know, the final deliverable to the client, the final picture, audio, subtitles, dubbing, everything is perfect and is delivered to the highest of the standards for our clients. And also we are in charge of actually delivering that to all the endpoints that clients require us to do. We have an amazing cinema team for digital distribution. You know, Deluxe originally was a traditional film lab industry business, right? But then it changed to digital cinema. And now we have one of the biggest operations for digital cinema distribution across the world. So we not only make sure that the the content is properly localized and made accessible for wider audiences around the world, we also make sure that that content reaches the end users in all the different platforms and endpoints that our clients require, which more and more are becoming even more complex because they have now licensed content for cinema, but then for streaming platform, but they're also for social media, but then also for whatever. So there are many ways where we need to put our content for our clients. And it's really very exciting business.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's why I was excited to actually have someone from Deluxe, because I don't know, I think it's cool. I watch movies and then at the end title, I see Deluxe. I'm like, oh, how come I've never actually talked to someone? So, well, thank you, Belen. That provides a lot more clarity. So the company for the Loke World crowd, that's why we haven't heard of you, because you're in Hollywood. You're too cool for us.
Sorry, too cool for school.
You're down in Hollywood wearing sunglasses and smoking expensive cigarettes while the rest of us are slumming it at Loke World. Evgeny, tell us a little bit about Apptech.
Yeah, Apptech has been around since early 90s or even earlier, actually. So it has a long history, but it always stayed a small to medium-sized company. Right now, we have around 100 employees. The headquarters of Apptech are in McLean, Virginia, so near to Washington, D.C. The original business of Apptech was more in translation services with some government partners, but also quite early on some media companies like newswire companies. Then, as I said earlier, the speech recognition was added to the portfolio. Later on, also some natural language processing in general, like some summarization or named entity tagging, and now, of course, this has expanded to using large language models. And we also have a text-to-speech team, which creates great things and which allowed us to go full pipeline speech-to-speech and work on some dubbing or voiceover technologies. Belen mentioned our team of scientists. Apptech traditionally has great ties to the universities in the other locations in Germany, in Aachen. We have a very good technical university here, especially the computer science department with focus on natural language processing, machine learning. Similarly, in Valencia, we have a small office in Spain, also very close ties to the university there, and some of the best people from both universities already start while doing their graduate studies. They start working for Apptech, gaining some experience. And a lot of them, of course, they are, you know, big companies try to get this such people, but a lot of these people actually prefer to stay with Apptech and work in a smaller company where they can really make an impact and directly see the result of their R&D work in real products like the stuff we're doing for Deluxe now. And I think this is really a great motivation to work at Apptech.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, and I've heard of Apptech for years, but likewise, I haven't ever really had the opportunity or the good fortune to actually talk to someone for Apptech. And I'm curious, you know, I mentioned, last year, AI, quote unquote, LLM, ChatGPT, whatever, right, exploded. I'm interested to hear your take on that, because y'all were doing AI before it was cool, right? So what differences have you noticed in what your clients are asking for, who your clients are, what kind of research and development you're prioritizing? How has that shifted over the last few years?
I can chime in a little bit and then Eugeni can give more scientific and accurate reply to that question. But one thing that I think it's worth mentioning regarding that question is that our clients are facing a lot of pressure from executives due to ChatGPT, right? Yeah. I mean, Sam Altman is creating so much disruption.
The COO goes to a conference and hears about it and then comes back and says, we need ChatGPT.
Exactly. COOs, CTOs, executives from all companies, and now they are all saying, why aren't we leveraging this? why aren't we solving all the localization problems already with this technology, because it's so cool and everyone is talking about it. So I think from a service provider perspective, how we are trying to face this issue or this challenge is by partnering with our clients and really give them realistic and sensible information about really what AI or neural machine translation, ASR, all of these technologies can do for them, so that they can educate their executives, because it's a lot of pressure now. There is price pressure. You know, the media and entertainment company didn't have the best year last year, honestly, because, you know, all the earning calls and the revenues going down and all users sharing the passwords so that, you know, we won't pay for what we need to pay and things like that, all that, and it's spending millions and millions of dollars in content. It's putting executives in all the companies in a very tough spot. And then generative AI comes, oh, well, why don't we use this magic wand to cut all the costs for localization, right? So as service provider, what we want to do is to really be the, the go-to person, the go-to trusted partner, so that we can tell them, okay, where are we today when it comes to the technology, what this really actually means for you, because maybe it means nothing as the quality standards that you have today, we cannot use the technology and magically solve everything. And where is the technology going and what is needed to make the technology progress, right? So I think that is very important. And that is the conversations that we're having today with our clients. And from a technology perspective, I'm sure that Eugeni can share something interesting.
Well, really quick, I'll just jump in because I have a short attention span. I'll forget. But we've been seeing a lot here at NIMSY Insights, because we've been working with companies too to kind of to get the C-suite off their back, essentially, right? Because, you know, we get a lot of these requests. Hey, you know, my CMO, my CFO, whoever it is, has said that we need to implement this. What does that mean for our industry? What's realistic? What's not realistic? And how can I respond to them? Right. So we've seen a lot of that. And I've noticed that, you know, last year was at the face of it, it should have been a pretty boom year for a lot of LSPs for the localization industry as well. But there was a lot of slowdown in investment. And my hypothesis is that, and it's based upon conversations I've had with enterprise clients, is that there was a lot of hesitation to invest in technology until the dust settled a little bit, until kind of people figured out what's fact, what's fiction. So that was just kind of my observations as well. But interested to hear Evgeny's thoughts.
Yes, exactly. And just from the technology point of view, for the actual large language model, this is the same case, that there's so much new things, so many new things which come, and every day there is another large language models pops up. They all have different applications. There may be fine-tuned slightly differently, different sizes and so on. And we first need to see what works best. So at Aptec, we do use large language models right now, but not for media and entertainment directly. What we have seen is that these models are very helpful for creating some kind of synthetic training data for our systems. So one of the things, for example, which I wanted to mention that we do is modeling of speaker agenda. Because in many languages, the translation has some gender-specific forms of the words. It's not just about, you know, gender bias or professions and so on, which is important to alleviate, but it's just about language itself. So if you don't know who's speaking, it is sometimes very hard to get the right language forms, like in Czech, in many Romance languages, and other languages like that. And basically, one way to deal with that is, for example, you can take a sentence where it is spoken by male or female and say, let's generate something which a large language model, which is has the same content, basically change as little as possible, but make sure that this is then a male form or female form. So this is a way of extending the training data with the examples you want to have to alleviate gender bias, or to have the different types of data for modeling this gender, but also maybe some other
cases like removal of disfluencies. You might want to do that with a large language model. And then you stay in control, because this is quite important, that especially media localization, that you have control of, over what is happening. Yes, so you don't want to just say translate and then you have a very nice looking translation, but then as you read it, you notice, oh, it's very fluent and nice, but it actually removed some very important thing, or, you know, changed the semantics slightly. And it is very hard to notice because you don't see that in this fluent translation as well. Yeah. So this is what I'm kind of still missing, is the possibility to actually better control the large language models output. How it is done now with prompting, with sometimes better, sometimes worse, but still there's like no guarantee that something will pop up that it does not fit what you're trying to do. Yes. And maybe another example here is the constraints for subtitling, for example, that we have seen that there are certain constraints, the maximum number of characters per line, maximum line length. And we have already, before the emergence of models like ChatGPT, we have already had neural solutions for this, which are combined with hard constraints. So it's a special dedicated algorithm that makes sure that the translation is done still on the full sentence level, that the previous context is considered during translation for better disambiguation of any polysemous words, for example, or pronouns. But then at the same time, that the resulting translation is put into the subtitle templated in the right way, that these constraints are respected, that it's readable, readability constraints are also respected. And this is very difficult to do with a free-form prompt, or, you know, you cannot expect a large language model to do it well so far, because we have seen examples that it cannot really count the characters right now. This is the typical thing that, you know, it's bad at counting. You can tell it counts the number of characters in this word, it will make an error a lot of times. So that is why we are actively researching this. We're having models of our own for different tasks like summarization, extraction of information. We are experimenting also for translation with these models. There we face also the difficulty that the current models are very much English prone, so to say, or very much good at English and the top languages, but not so good at lower resource languages, which are of great interest to media localization. And this is another thing that we think the dedicated model where we focus really on these languages works better right now. But yes, large language models, we keep a close eye on them, and we definitely will use them in the future.
Yeah, and you know, that's all fascinating, you know, kind of getting a peek under the hood on what it is that you're working on, where it's currently working well, where it's not working well, where you're going to invest in more research and development. Question for Belen, though. So what? Right? Like, what's the point? How does this translate into, I mean, and I'm asking this question from your client's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. No, absolutely, Tucker. I think we're still in a phase where we're still figuring out what are the real applications of the technology that will actually make a difference for our clients. So we're starting to see some use cases that to me are quite good, because they mean more accessibility, right? So you probably, many people here know that the European Union has this Accessibility Act coming up next year, June 2025. And so most of our clients will be forced. I mean, they want to make their content accessible, but now there will be a regulation that actually will have them to do this once and for all. So they will have to provide digital accessibility for all their content in all the languages in the European Union. That will probably mean that they will have to have closed captions in all languages, because just for people might not be aware of this, but for example, in Spain, when I go to Netflix or to HBO Max or whatever platform, the subtitles that I receive in Spanish are just subtitles, meaning that they don't contain any audio, sound, event information. They are just the translation from the English subtitles. They are not closed captions in other languages, right? So right now, if I'm deaf in Spain and I want to watch something, I just need to use the subtitles that are in Spanish without all the sound and event information, which is a miss, right? I mean, it's not cool for people to not be able to access this information. And audio description, the same. Audio description is not available anywhere in European languages unless it's an original series or movie from Spain. For example, if I go to and want to watch La Casa de Papel, Money Heist, yes, there will be an audio description in Spanish, but it won't be an audio description for any other show that is created outside Spain, which is a big miss, right? So I feel that with the technology that we are now going to polish and make it better for our use case, this is a very clear use case where we could use machine translation to localize the English audio description scripts and then TTS to generate the audio for the target languages, for example. Audio description right now, the style in English and in other languages is kind of flat. So TTS, which is text-to-speech technology, is a very good candidate to have this, you know, this is a very good use case for this technology because it is there already to provide a flat voice that sounds good, that sounds nice, and so on. For actually, we're already providing TTS audio description for some clients in the UK for many years because they wanted that. Okay. So even if I, you know, sometimes it's, you know, quality is important, and of course we care about quality, and using technology doesn't mean that it's not going to be high quality, but it will enable more content to be accessible, which otherwise, right, if we have to generate all these access services from scratch, maybe clients won't be able to have all this accessibility in their platforms. And I see this as well, like when, you know, this technology is not to replace the human workflows that we have today, the traditional workflows that we have today, but to expand to other workflows and new, right, themes. And I'm also thinking about hyperlocalization, for example. Like right now, Spanish, there are like, I don't know how many, 20 different variants of Spanish or more, no? And today we have to, it's either Castilian Spanish or it's Mexican neutral Spanish for most of the content,
yeah,
right?
Spanish.
So yeah, exactly. So what if we can, you know, add more regional variants with the technology, thanks to the technology? What if we can conform a, you know, Castilian Spanish subtitle into other variants and then let the users decide which one they want to use? Or for TTS, what if we want to have audio description with different accents? Because, you know, we want to give people in Colombia AD in Colombian accent and things like that. Or even things like, I've been hearing this from many people who are not in the media and entertainment localization industry, is that users are very annoyed when they turn on the subtitles in the platforms, imagine the Spanish subtitles, but they want to watch the Spanish dubs, and then the dubbing script and the subtitles, they don't match.
I've noticed that, like, yeah, when I'm watching, right? And I, you know, I've always wanted to ask you, Belen, about this. Well, always, like for the last couple of years, ever since you abandoned NIMSY to go work for Deluxe, I've always wanted to ask this, like, why is that? I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on a tangent. Why do, yeah, the subtitles, like if I turn on Spanish dubbing and then turn on Spanish subtitles, or hell, if I turn on English subtitles, sometimes it doesn't match. Why is that?
Yeah, because those are two different products, two different deliverables, two different people working on that. And so that is how it is. So when you're translating subtitles to be used as subtitles, that in theory, in the client's minds, these subtitles are going to be used with the original language, right?
Ah,
and then you have the subtitles, okay, which is a translation from the original language, right? So you will have solutions that are, you know, more like close to the original script because you are listening to the original and you're reading. So you don't want to be super extremely creative and change many things like cultural reference and things like that, because the audience will listen and will say, hey, these guys are not translating well. They are changing everything. And now this is wrong, right? So this is a translation from the original script, from the original audio. The dubbing is created for dubbing purposes, and they might have different solutions because you don't have access to the original, right? So I might have more creative choices and say that I will change a cultural reference, for example. I remember I always put this example to my students when I was teaching from Friends. There is an episode when Phoebe is giving birth to the triplets from her brother, that she's in the hospital and there is this doctor and he's kind of crazy and he's making all these references to the forms, which is, you know, from a TV show in the United States, I think it was Happy Days, that, you know, was not, and it's not very popular in Spain, right? So in the subtitles, you will keep the reference to the forms, because if you change that, well, maybe people would feel like, okay, this is somehow off. But in the dubbing, all those references were changed to Star Trek and Captain Spock, which was more relatable for the audience in Spain, right? So I think that this is a good example to show some of the differences, some of the limitations, like from a creative side, that you have in the different modalities, dubbing and subtitling, and why subtitles don't match the dubbing, because it's like two different products. And it's not supposed to be watched together, sorry, people. But you now can do it because you have access to all these streaming platforms and you have more options. But now people are complaining because of that. So why don't we use technology to transcribe the dubbing script in the target languages, and then people can select, do you want the subtitles to be watched with the English? Do you want the subtitles to be watched with the dubbing? And so you give more opportunity to people to customize their experience. I think those would be some use cases that are nice where technology can be used. And of course, expanding to new verticals or new customer base that is not core for Deluxe. Like now we serve media and entertainment, but there are other use cases more on the broadcasting side, more on the sports side, that they have more even live transcription and translation needs. And for that, we totally need technology to be more efficient and more accurate and so on and so forth. So there are many things where, like, this might mean opportunities for our clients beyond just, you know, okay, now we have MTP workflows. Congrats, right? Yeah. Like, that is not exciting, but there are so many other applications where we can see that.
Yeah. And AppTech has had quite an experience already with live recognition. With captioning for many news studios, our captioning live captioning solution was used already. We have also experience with translation and live captioning, so also live translation. And we also had several clients where there was like a transcript and translation of the show necessary to be ready within 1 or 2 hours with some post editing. And we were able to provide very good customized systems, which require only little changes so that this requirement could be met. So this is one area. And as for the you know, core Deluxe workflows, I also like to say that we try to eliminate the boring, tedious work on the more easy things and leave time to the translator to focus on the more creative aspects of their work, on the translation of wordplay, for example, some puns, some historical references, maybe so something like what Belen just said, where it requires actually a really deep understanding and maybe a rephrasing completely with a different example, and not just literally translating. Of course, MT right now is not able to do that usually, yes, unless it just memorized some kind of, you know, proverb translation or whatever. Other stuff, it can do quite well, you know, some simple dialogue, or in documentaries, MT does very well, because it's you know, what's out there, the news events and so on, this is all very much learned by the model. And also any other kind of like more repetitive content, it is translating that quite well. And this is what we try to also make sure that is translated not just well but consistently. This is one of the problems I mentioned, kind of this, to have some control with large language models difficult, but just with neural MT, it can also be difficult. And that's why we look at making sure that the glossary terms are translated correctly. It's a difficult task for neural MT. It's not just, you know, passing it to the target side. It has to be in the right context. It has to be in the right morphological form. And you have to make sure that it's actually used consistently throughout the whole file. And the other point is, also the speaker agenda. So if you can get this information from a human subtitle template, let's say, we utilize it. If you don't have this information, we can also try to get it with our speech recognition technology based on the acoustic voice characteristics. And then if we set this information and pass it on to the MT system that is trained in a way to actually use this information mm-hmm. for the right word forms, then you don't have this repetitive corrections of, it's not male but female speaking, and you need to change all the suffixes of the words and whatever. And this creates a better experience for the people. So they actually see, oh, I don't have to correct much here. It's all consistent. So I really read it carefully. Yes, there may be a few errors here and there. And here's a bigger chunk which really requires creative work. And this is what I'm going to focus on. So this is my goal. And we actually see already some first results where we see, like, really people say, oh, this is actually helpful for me. Yes. And we get the feedback, as Belen said earlier today, and we also continue improving on our side from this feedback. So this type of cooperation is really what I like, is that we actually see what makes a difference and what does not make a difference maybe as much. Yeah. And then we can improve our technology in the right way.
Yeah, and you've talked a lot about a lot of different technologies. We've talked about neural machine translation. We've talked about text to speech, speech to text, speech to speech. Gender recognition. All of these different forms of AI technology, generative AI, large language models, all of this stuff. And just to reiterate something that you've both said, but to reiterate because it's an important point, is the use cases that folks like us are most excited about aren't replacing translators, but they're rather using technology to enable hyperlocalization, basically in order to do things that were not cost efficient to do earlier, right? Or impossible to do earlier. Live transcription and translation of broadcast media, for example, is a great case study. It's like, that's just not feasible to have live translation of live broadcast media out there without the use of technology. And Belen, down in your neck of the woods, well, I guess you're in Spain, but down in Hollywood, there's been some stuff happening in the last year, right? With the mm-hmm. writer's strikes and everything. And I'm certainly no expert in that space, but I do recall hearing that one of the points of contention, let's say, from the Actors Guild and the writers too, probably, is the use of AI. So people mm-hmm. Writers are being concerned about using AI to replace them. Actors are concerned about using AI to replicate their voices or likenesses without their consent, all of that stuff. And, I'm saying all this to kind of lead into the question that I think we could probably spend the rest of our time on today, which is how long until the humans replace us? Or until the machines replace us humans, right? But seriously, what are your thoughts? Open question. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, that's a great question, Tucker. I mean, first of all, I want to say that me personally, I feel like we are, as a service provider, we are no one without our creative partners. We are no one with our translators. We have no one with our voice talent. We are no one. Like, really, it's in our best interest to take care of the creative talent that works for us today and will continue to work with us for the foreseeable future, because really we are no one without them. And I want to make this very, very clear, because this is the stance at Deluxe and we really understand that. The same as Hollywood doesn't want to get rid of the talent and have all the scripts now created with ChatGPT, because life will be very boring and we will be very depressed after very few time. So that being said, Yeah, I don't think, I mean, yesterday I was listening at the podcast with Bill Gates and Sam Altman. I really recommend you to listen to that one. It's very recent. It's and confused me with Bill Gates' podcast. And one of the main kind of fears that Sam Altman was voicing, which wasn't making me less nervous about this, is that, first of all, that he thinks that this new revolution, this new technology revolution, is different from the previous ones, is different from the internet revolution or the computer invention revolution, for what matters, because, you know, it took like a couple of generations to adapt to these technology shifts. And it was all right, right? Because when I was little, I didn't have internet at home, even if internet existed, right? But we were poor, so we didn't have access to that. And it took some time for companies to do those shifts and for people had time to learn how to use this technology, how it will impact their work, and so on and so forth. Sam Altman's concern is that this revolution or this AI revolution will be way faster, and how society will adapt to it will be one of the main challenges that we have ahead of us. That's one thing. The other thing that kind of concerned me hearing from Sam Altman was that Bill Gates made a very good question asking, but how about human purpose? Which I think it's a very important ethical question that we should be asking ourselves, because Bill Gates was asking, like, I'm really interested in like curing malaria in Africa, and now will like generative AI come up with a solution, and then I have nothing to do because, you know, this will already be done. And Sam Altman said, you know, that he was also kind of troubled or concerned about that because he feels that this is the last thing that he is going to solve, or he is going to make an effort to solve. And after solving generative AI, he will, you know, the generative AI, the artificial intelligence will be smarter than him. So he will have no, like really nothing to do about that. So that got me thinking, and, you know, we cannot turn our backs to the reality of technology. From a language service provider perspective, I don't see, like today, my little brain cannot imagine that future where all humans are replaced by generative AI and technology. I cannot imagine today. But listening to these guys who are actually working on that technology, well, that's kind of, I don't know. I don't have a magic crystal ball to tell people, yes, don't worry, everything is gonna be fine. I wish I had, but this is what these guys are talking about. So I think we need to be cautious a lot on our side. For me personally, I don't see humans, at least on the creative side of things, being replaced in the foreseeable future. Not because the machine won't be able to do it. I think the machine might be able to do it in 5-10 years, I don't know. But do we as humans will want to consume stuff that is fully created by a machine? Will be able to connect with that content, with those stories, with those words, with those voices that are not human?
Not for Game of Thrones, right? Maybe for like tutorials, or, you know, it's like one thing. I think public perception, societal expectations around synthetic voices have shifted. So like there's two things happening. One, synthetic voices are getting, and I'm just using synthetic voices as an example. Synthetic voices are getting better and more human-like, right? But at the same time, our expectations are coming down to meet it. Like if you go on TikTok, you know, if you're braver than me, and you go on TikTok, a lot of, you know, TikTok reels, whatever they're called, use synthetic voices. And so I think public perception around it is getting more accepting of it. However, I wouldn't want to watch Star Wars using synthetic voices, right? And it's kind of like and there's studies out there by smarter people than me that could cite these studies, but your brain gets tired after listening to synthetic voices for more than a minute or two, right? So it just kind of creates a brain drain.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't think that in creative workflows we like humans will, and you're talking about the like a very open question, right? I'm not even talking about deluxe or about, I'm just talking about from an ethical human challenge perspective where we are, and I'm listening to the guys who are leading the way to kind of get some sense of how they are feeling about it. So personally, I don't, even if the technology would be great in 5 years, even if TTS technology would be great in 5 years and it will sound like exactly like a human, will we want to like really consume things that are absolutely just computer generated? Or can we leverage technology to really increase accessibility, increase hyperlocalization? I mean, it's the same with when Google Translate was invented, right? Like, I don't think Google Translate, and this is something that Renato says a lot, and I learned from him, like Google Translate didn't like send all LSPs to bankruptcy. On the contrary, now when I'm like, I'm doing something and I see something in a language that I don't know, I just go to Google Translate and translate it just to get the gist of it. Or if I go to a website in Japanese that I have no idea what it's about, I can just use Google Translate. And it's providing me with realistic accessibility.
Yeah, when you do that, you're not stealing a job from a translator.
Exactly.
Because it's not like you would have hired a translator to do that anyways. Yeah.
And the videos on YouTube, they also have automatic generated subtitles on TikTok or any other social media. All these guys, they have all these automated generated subtitles, TTS, whatever. But that's content that was not going to be localized in the first place.
Right.
So why don't give the power to the users and really use the technology where it will add value to humanity, not to anyone else, right? Like, that's what I think, but. Well, maybe has
well
some
put,
thoughts.
Evgeny.
Well, I really agree with both of you, and I was never one of the people who would say that the singularity or the emergence of general AI would be very soon. Maybe I'm wrong, but also I see now there's a lot of research on how to detect stuff generated by AI. With AI again, but it shows that you know, people actually would like to know what is by human, you know, was produced by humans and what was created by AI. Yes, so and it means that makes a difference still for people. Yes, and as long as this is the case, the best way to use the technology is really to assist people, as you said. Yes, and this is what I think is good. And we also see, for example, that MT sometimes just provides suggestions for translation, which people not necessarily use. Maybe they like something better, but they say, this is the word I kind of forgot, or it was in my passive memory, but not so in active memory. It might be a good translation, or maybe like a similar word now I remember, which can be a good translation, and so on. So there's a lot of this supporting work, tedious work of, you know, looking up a word in the dictionary like it was in the old days. You don't necessarily have to do it anymore, yes? And removing this tediousness, making it fun to work with language, I think this is a great thing that the new technology is doing. And yes, Chat GPT or its models like that are quite creative, but they are also, like, as I said, not so much controllable in this creativity. And it is more like you can only if you specify something specifically, you know, you just I want you know, a poem about this or a line about that, then they do a good job. Yeah? Yeah. So you have to provide some feedback or some control. You cannot just say, you know, go and give me, you know, some new movie. Yes, you have to specify a lot of things to actually make it work quite well. Yeah. So that's why I think the technology is there to stay, but it will hopefully be a useful tool for people. And then people, yeah, as you said, will try to also use it to create more content, to localize more content, so people will still have their jobs, and maybe there will be more fun jobs.
Yeah, I'm all right there with you. This technology ain't going to replace people. It's only going to replace people that are afraid to use the new technology. It's actually going to make our are, and I say are, it's going to make our jobs more interesting, right? Because who wants, I don't want a job that can be done by a machine, right? I don't want a repetitive, boring, lame job. I want a job where I get to think and be creative and stuff like that. All of the things that machines are bad at, that's kind of what I want to be doing. But that's just me. So, well, we're coming up on the hour here. Folks, any closing thoughts before I start wrapping us up today?
I think I said everything that I'm thinking about right now with no filters, but yeah, just that we're really looking forward to see what we can do in combination with service providers, language technology providers, our clients, the talent that works with us, and all the stakeholders that are in this amazing industry that we work for. And I think we can really achieve really cool things and make a good in the world and not the other way around.
Oh, I've always loved that about you, Billen. You're so optimistic. You're young still. Don't worry. Life will beat that out of you. No. Evgeny.
Yeah, I since Tucker, you mentioned TTS earlier, I just wanted to say that, you know, this whole pipeline of what we create right now at Aptek called, let's call it voiceover, not really dubbing, because we are not, you know, fitting the lips or anything.
Sure.
But I'm amazed myself by the quality of the voices,
right? Yes,
but I also still see some room for improvement there, yes? And again, there's several possibilities we identified where there could be human intervention, starting from fixing speech recognition errors all the way up to actually setting the tone of the voice for the actual generation of the voice, but also things like just properly saying the names, which are foreign names possibly in the speech, in the target language, yes, which is not you would expect from a system, but really it ruins your experience when this is happening, that the name is not pronounced the right way. You immediately notice that this is not a human voice. Yes.
Even I make that mistake. I can't tell you. I always need to remind myself before you start the podcast.
Otherwise, your sound as a native speaker of that language, or this voice, the TTS voice sound. Yeah. So you would expect usually, and then you hear this error and you see, oh my God, this is not the right thing to do. Yes. But once you make this intervention in between, and also maybe some creative intervention to actually, you know, make the utterance fit at least the duration and, you know, fit the purpose of this, not be so boring, let's say, like in some translation, then you actually can create a great experience with a limited amount of time. So it does not cost you as much time as really having a full dubbing setup there, and especially with the voice you actually gain from having these voices. And yes, then you can expand this offering to a lot of new content which you could not have dubbed or made voiceover before. Yes. So, and I find this is a perfect example of all the technologies coming together and all the different ways of how humans are involved in the localization or dubbing process coming together, and this is what I'm also looking forward to for the future.
Lots of optimism, lots of reasons to be optimistic, I would say. Sometimes you just need to remember that. So, Belen, Evgeny, thank you so much for scheduling this and coming on the show. I'm going to take us out here. Ladies, gentlemen, chat. We are out of time for today. If you enjoyed this NIMSY Live experience, then join us next week. You can go over to our LinkedIn page here at NIMSY Insights and go down to upcoming events. We have on Monday, March 25th, AI for Translation and Interpretation. That's going to be a good one. 234 people already signed up. 84 people signed up for the one today, but at one point we had more than 84 people joining us. So it's one of those where people saw us live and they wanted to come on in. So if you're one of those people, welcome. Make sure that you're subscribing to NIMSY Insights or following us on LinkedIn so that you get notified of our future episodes. I appreciate our guests today, Belen and Evgeny. I appreciate my colleagues here at NIMSY Insights doing all the hard work so I can have these interesting conversations. And finally, I appreciate you, the audience, who are joining us live today. And I look forward to next time. Cheers.